From Austin Film Festival, this is On Story, a look inside the creative process from today's leading writers and filmmakers. I'm your host, Barbara Morgan. On this special presentation of On Story, we're taking a closer look at some of the incredible films chosen to screen at the 26th Annual Austin Film Festival and the filmmakers behind those films. We spoke with filmmakers whose work represents some of the most original voices in filmmaking from around the world and the challenges they faced in their creative process, as well as the breakthroughs that led them to the Austin Film Festival. On this week's On Story, co-writers and directors John Langmore and Bud Force discuss their feature documentary Cowboys, a documentary portrait. Told in the cinematic tradition of classic westerns, the film gives viewers a firsthand account from modern working cowboys on some of America's largest and most remote cattle ranches. John Langmore is a former working cowboy who spent 5 years photographing cowboys on 12 of the country's largest ranches. His recently published book, Open Range, America's Big Outfit Cowboy, is the result of over 6 years of work photographing on the country's largest ranches, all running full crews of horseback cowboys. Bud Force is an award-winning director and cinematographer based in Austin. He's been involved in the agriculture industry most of his life. Bud is a former rodeo cowboy who spent the past decade producing brand films and documentaries around the world. I spoke to John Langmore and Bud Force about Cowboys, a documentary portrait, presented by Hill Country Conservancy ahead of its world premiere at the historic Paramount Theater on Friday, October 25th. I want to introduce John Langmore and Bud Force. We're going to be screening their film Cowboys on Friday night at the Paramount Theater. And want to talk to you both about how this project started and talk to me a little bit about your documentary.
Yeah, glad to. This is John Langmore, and I'm one of the directors of Cowboys. And probably, I guess, the genesis was a photo project that I did on the American Cowboys. So I cowboyed as a kid for 12 summers and put it aside for almost 30 years and took up photography in the meantime. And I spent about 4 years working on a photo project for a book on the American Cowboy. And Bud took out an office next to me as I was winding down that project. Bud was, it's an office here in Austin that where there's a lot of post-production. There used to be, there's less today. But Bud took out the office next to me, came in one day, kind of dressed a bit like a hippie and said, "Hey, I've looked at your photography on the Cowboy. Wow, that's interesting. I just got back from a ranch up in the Panhandle called the Tongue River Ranch." And I was literally in the process of looking at that ranch as one to go to for the book. You know, I bet there's not 15 people in Austin that know the Tongue River Ranch. And here's the guy in the office next to me just got back from there. So, you know, of course, that developed into a quick friendship. And I don't know, Bud, what, maybe 4 months later, he walked in and said, "You know, I've had this idea to do a documentary film on working cowboys for almost a decade now, and you know, you just got off all these big ranches, you know this whole scene, you did it as a kid, you want to partner and make the film?" And you know, I thought about it, and I was looking for an excuse to go back to the ranches because I'd finished photographing. So it was like, you know, this will surely keep me going for another couple of years out to these ranches, and that was that.
My name is Bud Force, and I'm a filmmaker based in Austin, Texas, and I'm the co-director and cinematographer for Cowboys. When I moved to Austin, I was looking for an office quick and fast, and you know, walked upstairs, and like John said, I was kind of hippied out at the moment, wearing flip-flops, and I had hair kind of down to here, and walked in and had just come off of this ranch and started talking to John. And I remember he kept looking me up and down, kind of like, "Wow, how does this guy even know about this ranch?" And very quickly, we realized, you know, we both had this history with the cowboy. John is a working cowboy on big outfits, myself working on family cow-calf operations, and a former career as a rodeo cowboy. And so we hit it off immediately. And John's project was actually a huge inspiration because he had been working for, I think, 5 years at the time, shooting all these ranches, you know, not just in Texas, which is where I was more familiar with the cowboy, but all the way out in Montana and Wyoming and northern Nevada and you name it. I'd never seen a documentary on the working cowboy that I personally had deemed to be authentic. And I think in that world, if you're in that world, you see a lot of the concepts that come out about the cowboy from the entertainment industry, and they're always wrong. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether saddles are wrong or, you know, the cowboys are wrong or the narrative wrong is wrong, so on and so forth. So I'd always kind of wanted to make a film about that. And I'd never had the outlet to kind of take it from point A to point B, really. And so whenever John and I started talking, we thought, hey, let's just get after it. And even though we didn't really know each other, it was weeks later that we were out filming ranches. And like I say, we didn't really know each other, so either one of us could have kind of gone our own direction or gone off the deep end, so to speak. And what it did is it really welded a strong friendship and a strong collaboration to get this project done. It's a really special film and has been a really special process in making it.
So, Bud, you actually have a commercial production company, right? So you had moved from essentially, you know, doing what you had done in the past to now doing commercial production?
Yes. I have a commercial production company called Ultralight Films. We've been working since 2006 and brought in a lot of those resources from our, you know, commercial production company to help facilitate the logistics of getting this thing, you know, produced.
Yeah, so one of the things that struck me about this film, I mean, you know, John, obviously you're a photographer and have been doing this for a long time, and your photographs are stunning, and you just have these incredibly iconic images in your still photography background. And then, Bud, you have this background with, you know, commercial work and shooting. And the thing about the film that struck me is just how incredibly stunning it is, not just from the cowboy's perspective, but where you really get to feel how big these ranches are and the scope of what these people see every day out there on the properties while they're working, and just kind of a different way of life. Can you talk a little bit about how you decided, with both of your backgrounds that way, how to capture those images? Because they make me feel like I don't want to be in my movie seat. I want to be in your movie.
As far as the cinematography side, I would say kind of a specific vision in order to show the American West. Of course, you're operating on this canvas that's incredible, you know, being the West. But bringing in the thing about it is today you have all of this technology you can work with, where 10 years ago to get some of the shots that we made for this film would have cost, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. You add it all up, it would have been millions of dollars. But these days you can take small compact drones, you can use glide cams, you can bring in cameras that are a tenth of the size that they used to be to go in and operate very light and very fast to get the content that we did. And I think that's one of the reasons why we were able to accomplish the cinema visuals in the way we were, is because we had to operate light and fast. Like I was saying, it was mandatory. There was no other way to do it. Our crew was three people. Mm-hmm. You know, on a commercial set, that's unheard of. You might have 30 people. You might have 40 people. And it was just us. And the only way we could do that were with these kind of advances in technology. So we hadn't really seen anything in regard to a lot of aerials in relation to the West, in relation to cowboying. So we knew we wanted epic aerials. Epic, epic, epic is kind of what we were thinking. As far as the cinematography visuals, and then even down to the interviews themselves. We knew we wanted to not do, you know, traditional interview setups, because we have these characters who are not only speaking to this lifestyle that many people don't know, but their faces themselves, due to the nature of what they do, are their own story in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to do our interviews and show the people that we were filming and listening to in a very specific manner.
Well, so, John, we talked about your background and working on some of these ranches that you went to for the film. That's a pretty insular world where people are, you know, they're out working with a small crew. They're all very used to each other. And then here you two guys come from a film crew and you're dumping out there in the middle of their work. How was that received?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it is a very, they're so isolated out where they live. You know, a lot of these places, 50 miles from the nearest town, and the nearest town, you know, less than 300 people. And it's everything you just said. They get very used to working with the people that they're working with. And, you know, the big advantage was I had just been to almost all of these places working on the book. And I would go to each of those ranches for 10 days at a time. They knew my dad. They knew the places I worked at. A few of the guys I knew from my previous time cowboying. So, you know, that definitely helped. Although I will admit, like, every time we left a ranch with no disaster, this is talking about making the film, I was so grateful, and I never took it for granted until literally we were driving off, because there are so many ways when you're working around livestock, there are so many ways to mess things up. You know, if you just suddenly pop up out of a, you know, from behind a sagebrush at the wrong moment, you can ruin half a day's work for these guys or a full day's work. And, you know, there's kind of three things there. First of all, they don't want you to get any of them hurt, which is not easy. I mean, which is, you know, relatively easy to do. They don't want you messing up their work. And then lastly, they don't want you to get hurt, although they kind of leave it to your own devices. You know, you're sort of on your own to make sure you don't get hurt.
Well, so let's talk about that way of life, because, you know, I guess I just wasn't even thinking about it until I watched the film. Was that the world we live in with our cell phones every day and the access we have to things is not part of their everyday lives out there? I mean, not that they don't have phones. I think you told me a funny story about a lot of them are on Facebook or whatever. But their actual day-to-day life is not connected in a way that we think about, certainly when they're working. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. It is funny because they are all connected on Facebook. Like, Facebook is the place they've decided to all congregate. And it's been ironic to watch these guys on their horse. They'll pull out their phone, take a picture of them moving a big bunch of cows, and post it on Facebook with some kind of commentary of, you know, look how removed I am from the world at large, you know, as they're posting it on Facebook.
Yeah, and one time we were flying the drone over, and we had to kind of stop them and say, hey, guys, can you stay off of Facebook while we're flying the drone over? Because you can see that little blue screen on the phone.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, with that being said, so they are not completely divorced from technology. There is no question that the basics of this way of life are largely unchanged over, you know, more than a century for sure. The essence is, you know, they spend all their days outside, all their days on the back of a horse, you know, and their whole life is tied to the cycle of a cow through the four seasons. And I will also say that, you know, one of the very distinctive things about this film, we went to 10 ranches. Really, 8 of the 10 or 9 of the 10 are, you know, the term of art is a big outfit, you know, and a big outfit is one that's kind of 250,000 acres up to 1.5 million, you know, run 3,000 to kind of 12,000 mother cows, and they run a full crew of cowboys. So even in the ranching world, these ranches are very unique, largely in that they run a full crew. So these are the guys that they don't do multiple jobs. You know, their whole job is a horseback working cattle. So, and they drift around, you know, I would bet there's probably 30, maybe 40 big outfits in North America, and they kind of drift around among these. And so that is what the film is about, is, you know, really the big outfit cowboy.
You actually had an interview in here that was really fascinating to me. It was the wife of one of these cowboys, and the reality of what that 250,000+ acres means. I mean, can you talk a little bit about her in here, and like what are the, you know, the life of what somebody like that is, you know?
Yeah, you're speaking about Jolynn Young, and at the time that we were filming, she lived with her two children on a ranch called OROs, and while they were out there, they had been at a camp that was 4 hours from town. And so when I refer to camp, these big ranches, these big outfits, oftentimes will have, let's just say, 5 to 10 camps around the ranch. So if you have, you know, 1 million-acre ranch and you have 10 camps, you've got a cowboy at each camp, and that cowboy manages that 100,000 acres of that ranch. Okay, and the camps themselves are not like a tent and things like that, but more so a house, a barn for their string of horses, and the houses are usually run off of solar power or generators or what have you. So Jolynn Young was you know, out at this camp 4 hours from town. And that's how, you know, that's one example of how a lot of these people live. So we went through and explored, you know, her story of how she operates with her children and, you know, all the way down to whenever you need a bag of sugar, you know, how do you get that? Can you just drive 4 hours to town with a baby and a toddler and pick it up and drive 4 hours back?
When you live 4.5 hours from town, getting groceries is a 3-day trip. If you tried to do it in one day, that'd be 9 hours of driving, plus errands, plus groceries, plus diaper changes, plus snacks. So we would just plan it, get up real early. On the first day we went, go get a room, and then we had a day to go to Costco, do all our errands, shopping, stock up on diapers for the next month. Possibly longer, because you never know if you're going to get stuck in here. Everything's rationed, and, you know, if the bag of sugar spills on the way up, it's a major disappointment. Because you're 9 hours from another bag of sugar, and you're not going to drive 9 hours to get it.
We really tried to go through and explore her story and the stories of others, you know, of people who live out at extreme remote areas like that and show those differences, because Jolynn herself has dreams of, you know, maybe living in suburbia and going out to a coffee shop with her friends, just like anybody might. And the thing about this film is, you know, Cowboys is a title, but all of these people are just people. They're real people, you know, and I think that's it. This is just a subculture and a subset of our world. But at the end of the day, we're all humans, mm-hmm. you know, and we still all have the same wants and desires. You know, they live out there for necessity. But what does that landscape look like, you know, and how do you balance the want to be, you know, in that lifestyle with the wants of raising your children in a safe and healthy environment?
Yeah. What did this do for you as a photographer? I mean, is it taking you into a different realm now that you're making documentaries, or is it, you know, really still something you love?
Yeah, you know, I'll be very curious to see if I ever make another documentary film. I still think of myself as a photographer that made a film, you know, unlike Bud's a filmmaker. I'll be interested to see. It is such a different approach to things. I mean, one is obviously you've got a team every step of the way, you know, whereas you do a photo project, it's you and your cameras, you know, and almost, you know, it's meant to be that way. So yeah, and in addition to the telling of it is so different, and I've always kind of thought, you know, you make a photo book, if you sell 10,000 photo books, that's huge, right? So that's 10,000 people that will have that book. You make a film, you know, our teaser that we put out to raise money for the film got 2 million views. I mean, the spread of a film relative to a book is just so vastly different. Although, you know, a book people will look at, they might look at it 25 times in their lifetime. You know, if people watch a film twice, that's, you know, that's one they really like. So big difference in that regard. Yeah, but, you know, interesting question. You know, let's talk in 3 or 4 years.
On Story is brought to you in part by the Alice Kleberg Reynolds Foundation, a Texas family providing innovative funding since 1979. This project is supported in part by the Cultural Arts Division of the City of Austin Economic Development Department, the Texas Commission on the Arts, the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services, and the Texas Library and Archives Commission. This program is also made possible in part by a grant from Humanities Texas, the state affiliate for the National Endowment for the Humanities. On Story is supported in part by Too Far Media, immersive story experiences by Rich Chaparro. The show is produced by myself, Barbara Morgan. Our associate producers are Colin Heyer, Sonia McCarter, and Maya Perez. Our editors are Jamal Knox and Travis Neely. Audio capture by Travis Kennedy. Music by Brian Ramos. Production assistance comes from The Sound Lab, Inc., Travis Kennedy, and KUT 90.5 in Austin. Go to austinfilmfestival.com to find out more about Austin Film Festival and conference each October. Until next time, I'm Barbara Morgan, and this has been Austin Film Festival's On Story.